And it was a long road, and I had to learn how to eat like a normal person. And for me, that was really the first time in my life I was eating like a normal person. And it was hard. And I think that was the hardest part of my journey, was just not being fearful around food when I'd go out to eat, not restricting, allowing myself to learn how to eat intuitively, understand how my body felt when I ate. Nurturing my body with whole foods. I went pescatarian for a few years. I went completely gluten-free. I just was researching and doing everything I could to just get the inflammation under control, and I did. I was actually able to go from stage 4 endometriosis to only 2 small adhesions in 8 years.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What's going on, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode of the Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber. And do I have an incredible fellow fitness coach, amazing woman, just a total powerhouse of a female who is about to drop a bunch of knowledge bombs on you guys in this conversation for today's guest. That is Sam Wallace, the founder of Sam Wallace Fitness, and truly one of my best friends that I actually didn't even meet in person until we recorded this episode. Sam and I connected back in like 2020, maybe early 2021, if I remember correctly. And our coaching philosophies are so aligned that we probably had our first conversation at the time she was looking to start a podcast, and we were on the phone for over 2.5 hours and knew nothing about the other person. Got an introduction from a friend. We were like, okay, cool, we'll talk. And the rest is truly history. So I had the opportunity to head out to California back in December of 2023 and immediately made sure to hit her up, first and foremost, to just meet this amazing human being in person. But second, to make sure that we got her perspective, her advice, and her story out on the Fix Podcast. I know we got such great feedback on the episode we did with my nutrition coach, Aram, and I guarantee you guys, this one is going to be up there with a lot of the same context, information, and just nuggets that you can take away from this conversation too, because Sam is such a real genuine coach who cares so much about her clients. But like we say at the Fitness Fix, she just gets it. She is really rooted in teaching her clients about the power of habits. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you know that totally jives with us at the Fix and also inside of the Fitness Fix coaching program. So I am going to just kick this one right over to Sam. And I encourage you guys to listen to this one more than once, because you'll probably have some really great, immediately tangible actions that you can apply in your life if you're on this pursuit of fat loss and just truly leading a healthier lifestyle in a way that can last and be your forever solution. So with that, let's welcome Sam Wallace to the Fix Podcast. Sam, welcome to the Fix Podcast. This is 3 years too long, 3 years in the making. I'm so happy to have you here. I'm so excited for the Fix listeners to get to know all about you, your fitness journey, your story, and just what an incredible human being that you are and the energy that you bring to the fitness industry. So thank you for taking the time to come on the show. And with that, we're going to kick it off with our go-to coffee question. So what does Sam Wallace like to sip on to get her morning going and get her energy revved up for the day?
I don't know if I'd call it sip on, but more of a IV injection.
This is why we're friends.
Okay, so I have a couple of different ones, but my main go-to, it's situational. It depends on where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm at home, then it's just the Nespresso with the espresso plus a coffee mix, nice. Right? Just a little vanilla creamer.
Okay.
If I'm out at a coffee shop, it's going to be an iced vanilla coffee with almond milk.
Beautiful.
If I'm on a cut, it's a iced sugar-free vanilla.
Yep.
But it's 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla, 1 pump hazelnut with almond milk.
Okay. It's like pretty good. Like a little hazelnut in there.
And you can never go wrong with a good old-fashioned vanilla latte.
You can't. I like it. I endorse all of those coffee orders. And again, I'm so much like you in that depending on where I am, depending on which coffee shop it is, I have a different list. When I'm in Jersey, I have like my go-to 3 places and I have slightly different orders at each of them. So I respect that. Now we can obviously talk about coffee for probably 2 hours straight.
This episode's actually all about coffee.
So buckle up, you guys. This is the episode that's all about caffeine. We're on a lot of caffeine before recording this, so it's going to be a good one. But in all seriousness, like I said, and just kind of prepping us for this conversation, I love having people come onto the show who do so much more in the fitness industry, especially as fellow coaches, that go way beyond somebody's macros, someone's fitness routine, and all of the health stuff, right? And you are 100% that type of coach. So while I was joking that this is 3 years in the making, it's seriously a conversation that I think for anybody who is about to start listening to this and just like kind of preparing for what you can get out of Sam's knowledge, her perspective, all of those things is a lot of real talk, which definitely is congruent with the fitness fix for sure. We align on that there. But more importantly, understanding that you cannot put your fitness and your nutrition in a completely separate box from your life. I think we are so aligned with that message. It's something I push to my clients constantly. I see you and Nina doing the same exact thing. So for us to kind of open that up and guide the rest of this conversation, here's what I want to know. Instead of reading off your resume and telling us your certs and telling us about Sam Wallace's company and everything that you do with your clients, I want to know on a deeper level why the Fix listeners should care about what you have to say in this episode. Big loaded question to kick us off.
Oh, I'm here for it. 3 years in the making. This has been a friendship that has been developing, and this is actually the first time we're meeting in person. It's so crazy how social media really makes you feel like you've known each other forever. Yeah. And that's how our relationship developed. But a lot of why our relationship developed is because we do share the same ideas, the same visuals, the same perspectives. And honestly, just those open and honest, raw conversations. And I love that you mentioned Real Talk because I'm a big Andy Frisella fan. So I love the Real AF podcast. So if you're not listening to it, you should definitely check that out. Second to The Fix. Why I coach the way I coach is because I understand what it's like to be on the client side. I was a client for many years and I got my start in the bodybuilding industry. And when I came in to the fitness world, I came in with an eating disorder and I was terrified to eat. I had this extreme fear around gaining weight. Mm-hmm. I did the endless amounts of cardio. I did the fat burners. I did it all. And I was actually introduced to bodybuilding by a girlfriend of mine. And that kind of, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but it wound me down this rabbit hole of competing. And if you don't know much about bodybuilding or the bodybuilding industry in general, you're chasing an aesthetic appeal. So nutrition looks completely different than what the average person would be eating.
Totally.
Because you have to get down to a low enough body fat percentage. You have to build enough lean body mass so that mm-hmm. you can have the aesthetic that is going to allow you to compete. So my idea around nutrition and health in general was that as long as you had a six pack, as long as you were lean, as long as you looked the part, you were healthy. And my story is actually the complete opposite of that because I was winning overall titles. I was competing nationally, going for an IFBB pro card, and I looked the part on the outside, but seriously, my health was awful on the inside.
Yeah, like literally physically, and we'll get into it.
Yeah. And so I actually ended up in an emergency surgery 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. So 28. So 8 years ago, last week, I ended up in an emergency surgery that almost cost me my life. And I was diagnosed with stage 4 endometriosis. I had a uterine bowel defusion. I had appendicitis. My appendix had ruptured.
I don't think I knew that part.
Yeah, my appendix ruptured.
I knew all about your endometriosis. Oh my God.
That's how I was diagnosed with it. It was from the appendicitis. It actually caused it. And
because it typically goes unnoticed for a lot of women.
Yeah. And I mean, I was put on birth control. I was told this is, you know, you're crazy. Here's a script for painkillers or narcotics. Mm-hmm. And we'll just give you a doctor's note for school. But birth control is your answer. And so I did that from the time I was 13 and a half, I was on birth control.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it was awful. So many questions. So much to this, but that surgery was a wake-up call for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember waking up from that and the doctors looking at me and they were like, you were so lucky you have friends and family that drug you here against your will. Because I wanted to go home and go to bed. I was like, I'll make a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I was not fine. And they were like, they saved your life. And it was really hard to digest that. And I didn't understand the recovery that was ahead of me from having a stomach surgery or a gastric surgery. And I had had a knee surgery before and I understood what it was like as an athlete to recover from that, but this was completely different. And I remember I couldn't get off my couch for 3 months by myself. I had to have help. I had to have help going to the bathroom. I had to have help putting my clothes on, taking a shower, eating, doing basic things. I really lost my quality of life through that recovery journey.
That's an understatement.
I remember I got stuck on the couch one time for a full day and I had to go to the bathroom and I just ended up, you know, there's nothing I could do. I was stuck. Yeah. Like there's nothing I could do. But it got me thinking and I was like, wow, if I'm 21 years old and I'm struggling this badly as someone who is in shape, who works out 6 to 7 days a week, twice a day, does this for basically a living,
way ahead of the average person that regard.
I cannot imagine what the average person is experiencing and I never want somebody else to suffer like I did. Mm-hmm. And little did I know that was really the start of my healing journey and autoimmune journey too. If you've been following me on Instagram, yep. I've been going through massive testing this last year to really get to the root. But I'm a firm believer that our nutrition is the basis of everything that we do and creating a holistic approach. And behind that, changing the habits and behaviors that are bringing us to health and fitness in the first place, because anybody can diet. Yep. Anybody can follow macros. Anybody can follow a meal plan template, keto, intermittent fasting, whatever your jam is, whatever you like to do, anybody can do that. But what I'm more concerned about is helping people understand that health and fitness is there to elevate our life. It's there to bring us joy. It's there to give us our quality of life back. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to wait until you're in a position that you don't have your quality of life to take action, because it really can hit us at any point in our life, unexpected. So for me, my mission is to help men and women see that you can have the best of both worlds. You can travel, you can go eat delicious foods, you can have a healthy relationship with food, and you don't have to kill yourself in the gym to be healthy, to be successful, and to lose weight. What I'm more concerned about is meeting you where you're at, helping you grow from there, and legitimately teaching you how to sustain it so that you don't have to invest thousands of dollars trying to reverse health complications or, you know, just trying to lose the weight in general. Because, I mean, we've all invested everything into that process. So,
absolutely. And there are so many different areas we could take the conversation and directions we could go. But the part that stands out to me the most, just in something you said in like the last 15 seconds of that whole thing, was around meeting clients where they are. That is a huge principle of the way that we coach with the Fitness Fix too. So much so that one of our sort of taglines, if you want to call it that, is our job as coaches on our staff is to meet you where you are, but pull you up to where you need to be. And the pull you up to where you need to be is the juice. That's the actual coaching. That's everything that Sam just said. And I think it's important to repeat. So for everybody listening, I'm going to emphasize this again, the fact that yes, you can travel. Yes, you can eat the foods you want to eat. You can live your life in the gray area. And I really feel, and I want your take on this, as somebody who has gone through the extremes, I would imagine you have a much bigger appreciation for the gray. But at the same time, it was not easy for you to get to the mindset that you have today for a million and one reasons. But I think so much because of what you were kind of indoctrinated into from a bodybuilding perspective. If I remember correctly, you were also a competitive dancer before that, right? Yeah. So if you think about your whole life, even in your teens, it was be as small as possible, be as lean as possible. You need to be stage ready for some type of event. For starters, makes sense why you went into bodybuilding, right? Natural transition. But I'd love for you to talk us through, because I know this speaks to your clientele, it 100% speaks to ours, is what that journey looked like for you to try to start to find some balance so that you also didn't swing too far in the direction of saying fuck it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just so many layers to this. So I want to just take a second to kind of see where, to just establish where I want to go with this. That yeah. makes sense to listeners right sure. now. Briefly, I came from the dance world. That was mm-hmm. my background. I started competitive dance when I was 3.5, 4 years old. And if you know anything about the dance world, your entire life revolves around it. It's
even school.
I mean, yeah. I would have notes. I'd leave school early. I would be at the studio. My mm-hmm. whole life revolved around it. But I was always the little one. And I was 5 foot and I was surrounded by other women who were 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". And I'm petite, but I'm built athletic petite, yeah. if that makes sense. Like, my bottom half was always a really big insecurity for me, and wearing leotards and like mm-hmm. having just these muscular legs compared to these women that were
super tall
and sure. just naturally thin or, mm-hmm. You know, I had a very harsh judgment against myself and a lot of criticism and body dysmorphia and shame. And so I was going through a lot of things at home at that time too. And I found that the only thing I could truly control was what I was putting into my body. And I learned at a young age how to kind of manipulate that in a very unhealthy way. I struggled with anorexia and bulimia for many years during my teens. And I went to therapy for it for a while. And I honestly, like, bodybuilding really did, in a sense, save my life in a way, because mm-hmm. you have to eat. It gave me more structure. It put me in a position that I was forced to, grow through it.
Yeah, and build muscle. Just emphasizing that phase, you have to eat more food. All of our clients know that. We are trying on social media right. to get more people to understand that. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
But what I learned is that you fear what you don't understand and you fear what you don't know. And I didn't understand nutrition at that time, and I didn't understand training, mm-hmm. and I didn't understand really how all of it worked. And when I started diving in, I was educated. I was really lucky that I worked with a lot of phenomenal coaches early on in my journey that were not the type of coaches that just said, here are your macros, here's this. Yeah. I mean, sure, that was provided, but they educated me through why I was doing everything that I was doing. Mm-hmm. Second phase through that, when I got out of bodybuilding, I actually got out of bodybuilding because I had destroyed my health at my last national show. I'll be transparent. I'm totally honest and open about this. I talk about it on my own social, but I ran some things and I wasn't educated on that. I was doing whatever it would take to win, and okay. it cost me my health. And I spent thousands of dollars on medical testing. I had blown through. I had no vitamin D in my body. My doctors wow. were like, how are you alive right now? Sleeping 16 and a half hours a day.
Because you just felt exhausted all the time.
Oh, my God. They thought yeah. I was a type 1 diabetic. I mean, it was just awful. And then there were some food allergies that I had developed through that, too. Sure. Because the more you restrict foods that you're not allergic yeah. to, the more sensitivities and allergies you can develop.
Makes sense.
Of course, I was having to learn how to navigate endometriosis. And I was just so miserable. I just didn't want to be miserable anymore. So I stepped away from bodybuilding. I was like, I got to get my health right first. I've got to figure this out. And it was a long road, and I had to learn how to eat like a normal person. And for me, that was really the first time in my life I was eating like a normal person. And it was hard. And I think that was the hardest part of my journey, was just not being fearful around food when I'd go out to eat, not restricting, allowing myself to learn how to eat intuitively, understand how my body felt when I ate, nurturing my body with whole foods. I went pescatarian for a few years. I went completely gluten-free. I just was researching and doing everything I could to just get the inflammation under control, and I did. I was actually able to go from stage 4 endometriosis to only 2 small adhesions in 8 years. And that's pretty wild because mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. But that is a direct result of education, implementation, and action. And I really just try to instill that in every person I come across, is that, hey, like, our nutrition all looks different. We all have different preferences. I could eat the same thing every single day and never get sick of it. That's how I like to eat.
Yeah.
Same. You probably like flavorful, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know Nina, I'll use Nina as an example. Nina cannot eat the same thing every day. She's like, I need flavor. I need something that fills my palate. I love the creativity with food. I'm like, nah, just give me the same thing every day.
And I'm very big on like being efficient. So I have a tendency to just meal prep from like a very simplistic kind of way. And it resonates with a lot of our clients because most of them are really busy professionals and moms that they want to find the balance in knowing that they can make better decisions, but they come into it with a fear and perception that better decisions always equal more time and planning and all these things. And we want to try to simplify that for them. However, to your point, like, even as I've grown the Fitness Fix and worked with more people, when you can play around with people's macros because they're open to being flexible with them, it's amazing the liberty and freedom they feel because you simply say to them, hey, if we figure out that your body does a little bit better on slightly higher fat, I'm not calling this keto, but I can adjust your macros to account for a lot of your food preferences, or vice versa. If we find that, you know, based on the way you train, based on you having certain performance goals, you wanting to lift heavy, whatever it is, and I want to put you on a higher carb diet, and you happen to really love to eat rice, potatoes, bread, all these things, you will be so successful. Why? Because of a couple of the words that you just said, implementation mixed with the education that I just did in super broad strokes, but really looking at it from those two perspectives to then go right into this action phase. And then I'll take that a step further. Adherence. You will be more compliant. You will be more adherent and therefore more consistent and therefore make the shit sustainable when you come up with a plan where we can help you achieve this so-called balance of, let's look at the things you're already doing that you prefer, that you like, that are working for you, and just make a couple of adjustments so that we have some runway with this.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also finding what works for you as an individual. Yeah. Because if you're, okay, I was actually talking to Aram about this on his podcast a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we were talking about the individualized approach with clients and success.
Yeah.
Because we work with a lot of clients that have tried macros or implemented macros and it doesn't work for them.
No. And they have a really bad perception of it.
Horrible perception. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, macros is tedious. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of time. And so that's why I think if macros is something you have tried implementing, you know, before, and it didn't work, there are a few things that have to be addressed before starting macros. First off, I want to say macros is a beautiful tool that gives you flexibility and freedom. But above that, it helps you understand what you are consuming.
That's where the education really lies if it's presented to you in the right way by your coach.
Right. And if you understand how fats impact you, how carbs impact you, how protein impacts you, it can be a really great tool in helping you through a controlled dieting phase and also just gaining a better understanding of how to build your plate.
Right. And go out to eat and travel, because you can just look at the basic rocks of like, what is the best option for me? Is it the burger or the salad? Like, you could appreciate this one. How often do we have clients that, like, once they start looking at macros in a different lens, even if they had experience with it before, two things happen. First, they stop ordering salads because they realize they can have the burger.
Whoa. Salads are delicious.
I'm a slut for salads. But a lot of them are super high calorie.
Right.
And they don't realize it. And if they're being honest with themselves, it's not what they wanted. And so that's where, like, they can get that flexibility. But keep going about your point of, what do we need to establish first so that we can either set the right relationship or change. I find it's a lot of changing the relationship, because most of our people come in having had some sort of bad taste in their mouth, literally and figuratively, right?
Habits and behaviors, baby. It all comes back to habits and behaviors. What you really need to understand when you go to implement macros is you need to have time management, portion control, self-awareness, and preparation in place.
Time management. Biggest one for my clients, at least.
Ours too. You know, we all have the same 24 hours in a day, but although we have the same 24 hours in a day, our 24 hours look a lot different.
Very.
And some of us are very busy. I mean, I can attest to this. We've seen each other's schedules.
And we both work on like the same. Like, we do our best work at night. Yeah. All that stuff.
I'm like East Coast or West Coast Krista. You're like literally, East Coast Sam.
Totally. I love it.
And But these things are really important, because when you go to implement macros, these are very strong tools you have to be successful at macros in a controlled dieting right. phase. Because if you don't have that attention to detail, you don't have that time management, that preparation, those basic foundation mm-hmm. principles in place, it's setting you up for a lot of headaches, honestly, a lot of frustration. Yeah. But the point of it is, it's about learning how to build a healthy plate. And so I always tell our clients or our mm-hmm. community, if you are not ready to jump into macros, or you want to take a break from macros, let's focus on learning how to build a healthy plate and understanding the components of it. Because what we're quick to think when we want to lose weight or we want to build more muscle is that, well, when we want to build more muscle, people are pretty aware that I have to add to my plate. Mm-hmm. But I think for the majority that are coming in for weight loss, they think they have to restrict.
And like cut everything.
Carbs especially. Much. Carbs yeah. are your friend, by the way. We love carbs.
Yep, we love them.
We love them.
And that's why I said burger, potatoes, all those things.
Yes. And if you understand carbs, you can actually utilize them to your advantage to right. catapult your weight loss. And you can actually have way more carbs than you'd ever intend. But again, to your point, some people do really great low carbs. Some people do great mm-hmm. high carbs. Some people do great on carb cycles.
Yeah.
It's about finding what works for you. But no matter what, everybody can become better at building a healthy plate and understanding the components of it. Am I getting a protein? Am I getting a color? Am I getting a carbohydrate? And when you can instill these three visuals into every meal that you're eating, I'll let snacks slide on that one yeah. because those are more like complexity. A filler. They're more, yeah. yeah. But as far as like your main meals, if you can get into the habit of visualizing your food in that way, it's going to make it a lot easier to develop a healthier relationship, which mm-hmm. translates into eating out or traveling.
Sure.
Because when I go to a restaurant, the first thing I think about is, what am I in the mood for? What yep. do I want? Which is a complete shift than it used to be. It used to be, oh, I can only have this, or I got to order mm-hmm. steamed vegetables and grilled only, no oil. Yeah. I have an allergy, right? Mm-hmm. And I did that for a long time. But now I think about, what am I in the mood for? What do I want? A lot of the times I'm like, you know, I want a really good pizza.
Yeah.
Or I want a burger and fries. Yep. I love burgers and fries. Me too. It just because we're healthy doesn't mean that we need to qualify foods as good or bad, because no food is good or bad. Sure, there are more nutritious options. Mm-hmm. There are foods that may leave us feeling better, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't want a burrito or some street tacos.
And we feel good after eating them too.
And I feel great.
Psychologically, especially.
But here's what I want people to understand. When you go to a restaurant, I want you to try to change your perspective of how you're viewing a menu. So if you choose a pizza, what we like to instill is, okay, what can I add to this to make it more mm-hmm. nutritious?
That's what we do too.
I'm going to get the pizza. And now let me see, okay, I know this is a carb-heavy option. I've got some dairy in there, which is going to give me a little bit of protein fat, but let's be real, it's going to be a lot more yeah. fat. Let me see how I can add some protein to this. Okay, well, there is this pizza that maybe like a California Pizza Kitchen.
Perfect.
Barbecue chicken pizza.
Yep.
Perfect. Let me add a little bit of extra chicken onto there to yeah. get some more protein. But I'm noticing there's not a lot of color in here. Let me see where I can add that in. I'm going to get a side salad. Let me get a side salad. You just built you have all components of your plate. You have your protein, you have your carbohydrates, you have mm-hmm. your color. Now when you move in, so you've ordered what you wanted, what you're in the mood for.
Yep.
You added to your plate. Now let's take a second to think about that portion control in a real life scenario, right? Most people are like, I don't get these foods that often. I have to eat all of this.
They want to go ham.
I get it. I want to go ham yeah. a lot too. But you don't feel good, and then your pants are really tight. And that's where the spiral really starts, is the aftermath of that, because we're not mm-hmm. taking a second to pause and really think about sure. the decisions we're making or how we're feeling.
And then start to feel like a failure because you reflect that you maybe think you made the wrong decision because you're full, and on and on and on.
Right. So if you're a beginner and you're struggling with that portion control, here's a little tip that's helped our clients that'll probably help you. I don't know about you, but when I eat out, I want to enjoy that meal for what it is. I don't want to feel like shit after.
Same.
But I also, what I like more about enjoying that meal in the moment is enjoying that meal twice. So I encourage clients, if you are struggling with portion control because you get so sidetracked in conversation mm-hmm. and you're really invested in the moment and you're just eating as you're talking.
Or you're starving because you tried to save up a bunch of food
calorie banking. Yeah. Get a to-go box at the beginning of your meal. I say, hey, can you bring out a to-go box when you bring out my meal? And they'll bring one out.
Great tip.
And immediately portion out your food. Take half of it.
Put it away.
Yeah,
change your environment.
Set it to the side.
Habits.
And take it home with you. And enjoy that meal the next day for lunch. So you get to enjoy that meal twice. But then what we're doing is we're teaching ourselves that, hey, I am in control of my decision making around mm-hmm. food. I don't have to eat until I feel absolutely gorged and stuffed. And I think a lot of us grew up with this concept that I have to finish my food because there are starving kids in Africa, right? Well, I'm sorry, but we're not going to say.
Especially us 90s kids.
Yes, us 90s.
Love you, Mom, but you said that to me.
Mine too. The three Girl Scout fight rule. Oh my gosh. So, you know, this is a great way for us to, one, practice giving ourselves back that power, that self-control, and also allowing ourselves to establish a healthier relationship with food without restriction. Because the more you restrict, the more likely you are to binge on it later on. And so really what we're doing when we restrict, and instead of just giving ourselves the food we actually want, we're just setting ourselves up for a relapse later on, you know, in our eating patterns that we're really trying to break. And I think it's important to remember that these eating patterns are going to come up.
Yep. And it's okay. It's okay. We don't have to judge ourselves for that. That's why we're here. Like, I want to cut you off for just one second because there's two things that you just addressed that I think are really, really key. Knowing that we have clients that are really long-term clients, something that Sam said at the very beginning of this last question was the foundational necessity of habits and relationship and behaviors. We also touched on the fact that the route she just described is really good for beginners. However, I want to highlight the fact that this is really good for advanced people too. And I'm going to throw myself under the bus. You know that Aram is my coach, which is why we brought him up a few minutes ago. And I have been working with him really diligently for the past year on how to figure out how to not have this rule in my head. And I've actually never said this on the podcast because he and I are going to do a full podcast on it. But I've been reflecting on it recently now that it has been a year of great growth in business, but not so great health management on Krista's side of things. And I take full ownership of that. I can be very black and white and dump all my energy into one thing and like let my success stand upon that without prioritizing my own health. And I know you can relate to that fully. But something he's helped me be able to see is that it's okay to go back to those foundational components and also start to learn what some of your rules that you've been carrying for years. So to be more specific, I've noticed that I started tracking my food to some degree about 7 years ago. When I first started tracking it, I loved it. I used a lot of the tips and tricks you just described. However, I was in a really different phase of life. My personal life looked different. I didn't run a business. I was working for other people. There's so many reasons why I can look back and see that the initial construct of macros worked super well in a way that now is not true. Mm-hmm. And a rule that I carried with myself because I tended to put fitness and nutrition in the box over here and life in the box over here was when I was on with tracking, I crushed. When I was off with tracking, I ate like a dick. And him and I were texting about this last week and we were talking about it. And he said to me, he's like, so what I'm actually hearing from you is that when you stop tracking your food, you have a tendency to not apply the principles that you know are important. And I said, yeah, 100%. Like I do know, order the extra protein. Like everything that Sam just mentioned, we coach our clients on the same thing. If you're gonna get a pizza, can you add the chicken to the top or can you order another chicken dish, split it with somebody else just so that at least you're getting that extra protein, right?
Yeah.
I will think about those things, but I don't do the best job with the portion piece because I'm really quick to be like, oh, I'm starving. Like yeah. I've got busy with work all day. That's usually my downfall is like I wait too long to eat. And then I don't want to make the best decision possible because emotionally I'm just very hungry. And I'm like, this is going to make me feel so good, right? So I say all of that to say and use myself as the example so that everyone can just really clearly hear that we never need to be tired of the basics, especially because Sam and I both feel so passionate about finding something that's actually sustainable. What Sam just detailed of how to put your plate together, that might be step number one on a lot of people's journeys, but the cool part about it is that's also step 5, step 10, step 17, right? Like, and that really is what is key to becoming an intuitive eater. Because for me, he pointed it out to me. Aram was like, you just like, you know, like you got to the thing that's preventing you from getting to where you want to go. Like, I want to be more intuitive with eating. I don't trust myself to be more intuitive. And as a result, I go back to tracking as a crutch. But then life gets busy, shit comes up for me, and I don't want to track. So the solution isn't go track just when you want to cut, just when you want to be in maintenance, just when you want to go through a muscle building phase. It's like find that gray area so that you can live the rest of your life this way. And I like to be transparent about it because I want clients to know that I struggle with the same exact things that they're going through too.
Yeah. And I really want to congratulate you on your vulnerability with that and also finding humility. And that's what makes you such a great coach is being able to share those parts of yourselves.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like that takes so much courage to admit to that. But that's the first step is admitting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people have to understand is that we have to admit when we're struggling. But what I really love that you brought up is that there's seasons. And the more we can grasp that concept,
yeah,
that we ebb and flow through life and we go mm-hmm. through different seasons, the more understanding we can be that what worked then isn't necessarily going right. to work now.
And to be nice to yourself about it too, because that's so why mean. I highlighted the fact that like, I don't want to just throw this whole year under the bus just because I didn't achieve a certain like physique goal that would have been nice to have, because that totally negates everything else I've done for The Fix as a brand, for the podcast, for our team that are so worth celebrating, right? But it's just like the next season is how can I do all of that and have all of the success in that capacity and make more time for myself and take better care of myself. Because what I just said is what every single one of the Fitness Fix clients wants. That's like the pinnacle, but it's not an end game. And that's where I really feel you have had such a personal journey of seeing that and because you live it, because you embody it, you're such a good communicator around what that actually looks like in real life.
This is my bread and butter.
Yeah.
So I love what you said about it's, yes, seasoned clients are more advanced people. And I think the more advanced you get, the more lax you get on yourself because mm-hmm. you know what you're supposed to be doing. You just can't implement it. And I have those conversations all the time.
Those are like half our clients every week.
Nina and I struggle with that also. Yeah. But the way we coach is full circle. Mm-hmm. So you end where you started.
Yep.
And but I mean, you're not ending right where you started.
Yeah,
but you're in terms ending of the behavior. With the same principles mm-hmm. as what you started with.
Yeah.
So when a client comes to us, their first 16 weeks, we don't even address workouts and training unless they're pretty advanced, then we don't. But we always start with a 16-week foundational series because, again, what I mentioned earlier, time, portion control, preparation, self-awareness, pause, that is what we want to put our focus and attention on mm-hmm. in those first 16 weeks because if we don't establish that foundation, we have nothing to build off
of. And we said it. Our clients are busy. We don't want them to feel overwhelmed to have this impression that you have to change 17 things at once. You really don't.
Look, I want you to just show up and eat and enjoy yourself and have some self-awareness, big self-awareness moments without having to think about what to choose mm-hmm. for dinner. We can build into macros. We can work into that. And when we do, we're going to take it super slow. We're going to teach you why you're swapping a veggie, why you're choosing a protein, why you're choosing a carbohydrate, and you know maybe options that would be better before we teach you how to build a meal. Mm-hmm. And then we'll slowly branch you into two meals, three meals, full day of eating, and then you have full control back. But that macros approach, like you said, becomes a crutch. And mm-hmm. then we get center focused on numbers and allowing numbers to dictate our decision making around food. And then, like you said, you eat like an asshole as soon as you're done with it. I mean, we all go through it. We all experience it. But what happens when we bring our clients back to a place of intuitive eating once they've reached their goals, we teach them how to eat for maintenance.
Yep.
But we are still with them without logging, tracking, weighing food. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing aggressive check-ins each week with them and having them actually send us the components of their plate while they're eating out, while they're building it on their own, because we don't want our clients to have to work with a coach forever. We want them to know that they can come back if they want to do a controlled dieting phase because they want to drop like 10, 15 pounds. Like maybe they want to tighten up a little bit, build a little bit more lean muscle. They have an event. They can come back. They know what needs to be done. Their foundation is taken care of. And we can do that in like 90 days, right? Yeah. Like we don't need to go full blown aggressive because that foundation is already there. And that's when training gets fun.
Yeah, because now you can start to play.
Right. And when you become an athlete that gets to play, and we have to adopt that athlete mentality. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Susan working a 9-to-5 in accounting, you know, every day and you've got three kids at home. If you want to be an athlete, like identify as an athlete, show up and do the work. And that's what we instill in our clients too. I mean, we have a lot of teachers, we have a lot of nurses, we have a lot of house moms.
Yep.
And these women have so much more power than they give themselves credit for.
Because they have so much more power. I have to emphasize this because it shows up in every other capacity of their life. Like I'm gonna switch this to a you because I know those women are listening to this. All of our female clients, especially our potential female clients even, and no shade to the dudes, but I feel like you guys just harness this a little bit better. All of the women out there who pride themselves on being selfless because you think it makes you the best employee, wife, mom, daughter, whatever, you are already demonstrating to yourself that you have the skill set to then apply that mentality to your fitness and nutrition. You're just not doing it because you're overwhelmed and like you're putting too much other shit on your back. And if you can transition to having this viewpoint of what Sam's saying of like, yeah, I am an athlete. And here's all the ways that I am an athlete that seemingly have nothing to do with fitness, that seemingly have nothing to do with nutrition. It just helps actually solidify that you do already have all the tools inside of you, but it's our responsibility with our teams to bring that out and create that structure. Like the whole thing about keeping your clients around while they're still eating intuitively, I am such a hard ass about this. I have clients that when they're in the last like official month of their program,
they dip out.
Yeah. And if they're in a deficit, I make them get on a Zoom with me. And I'm like, I did this literally just last week to someone. I'm like, look, if you don't want to continue, that's cool. Like she has some other things she wants to work on.
Fair.
I really felt that she needed to address some of those things in tandem with fitness and nutrition. And there was a little bit of a disconnect there. So I was like, let me one, explain why I feel that. But two, I like intrinsically cannot let a client leave our program in the middle of any kind of deficit type macros. Because I've done it before myself and what happened? I didn't go into reverse. I didn't learn what maintenance was. And instead of actually taking that time to reinvest in my coach for even just two more months, like it doesn't have to be this long drawn out thing. Personally, I think you'd be better off for 6 or 12 and take that from somebody who has yo-yoed their weight for several years. This I can pinpoint is why it happened. I didn't stay with the coach. I would just finish the journey with the coach when I got to the lowest weight and we'd have no conversation of like, okay, your macros are here, here, and here. Do you want to stop tracking your food? Yes. How do I go about that? Well, keeping the guardrails up, keeping the check-ins in place, like what you were saying of how you and Nina create this environment for you to have those conversations with clients, because that's how we get you to a point where you don't have a coach for forever and you're truly empowered to go through this journey on your own, which is what we want for you. Like I feel defeated a lot as a coach when I have a client that comes back to me 6 months later and is like, hey, like I gained 25 plus pounds. And I'm like, well, then there's stuff that we didn't address the first time around and we need to do this differently. Love and respect them for coming back and being like, hey, I need more assistance again. But that's an opportunity for us as coaches to be like, how can we look at this differently? What did we not address in the first place? And in my experience, 9 times out of 10, it's how they left us.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. You know, I think what people need to understand is that we're always in three phases of a calorie range. We're in a surplus where we're gaining weight. You can manipulate that for mass building. But for the majority of people who, I'm just going to keep this in context to weight
gen
loss.
Pop. Yeah.
You know, a gen population is eating in a surplus. That's where you're seeing slow weight gain over time. Mm-hmm. Maintenance is where you're going to fluctuate up or down like 3 to 5 pounds. That's normal. That's a normal
and that's
female
where I
body.
Want everybody to feel like they can live and live their life.
This is great. This is where you are. So if you are eating at that maintenance calorie, you're going to fluctuate three to five up or down, but you're not going to be losing weight. You're not going to be gaining weight. That's where you maintain the results. And then if you're losing weight, you're in a caloric deficit. So that's where we're losing weight slowly over chronic periods of time. But I think what people need to understand is that we have a bottom deficit and we can't stay in a bottom deficit. We have to come out of that bottom deficit. So although weight loss is great, if you want to sustain it, reversing would be an even better asset to tie into the end of your caloric deficit. Bring your body up to its new maintenance macros.
Which you're going to be so excited by how high they are. Yeah, and how great you feel if you just let yourself get there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're going to maintain the results that you worked so hard for.
Way more easily.
And way more easily. You're not going to rebound. Okay. Here's where rebound happens. I don't think a lot of people understand that this is a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. This is not a phase diet system where I lose some weight and then I go back to my old behaviors and habits. This is a day in and day out effort. So if you want to truly lose the weight and keep it off, you have to change your lifestyle. Now, do you have to do a drastic lifestyle change and be this like David Goggins? Absolutely, 10 miles a day, 25 milers.
If that excites you, go for it, but it's not required.
It's not required, no.
Yeah.
But you can make small shifts. Like, let me just eat breakfast. Right. Let me just have breakfast or a breakfast snack.
Yeah.
I saw somebody say that earlier today. They were like, yeah, I had my pre-breakfast snack. And I was like, That's such a genius way of looking at it.
Because a lot of people do like coffee and some kind of protein bar or like a shake.
Right.
And then they'll have more of a breakfast a little later in the morning. And I tend to do that.
I tend to do that too. Because I don't like to eat in the morning. I don't feel good when I eat in the morning.
Which is why.
I get into work mode. I don't feel my best when I eat a full breakfast. I like to have a snack first thing and have breakfast a little bit later. I mean, obviously we work for ourselves. We work from home. We have some of the means to do that. I know a lot of people don't with their 9-to-5s, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But prioritizing breakfast and just changing that little habit of let me have coffee with my breakfast is so powerful, because when you break that fast and you get breakfast in first thing in the morning, it sets your tone for eating for the entire rest of the day.
Yep.
And Nina, I didn't even mention. So Nina's my team's registered dietitian.
I know, I went right into it. I should have
said that earlier, but she's phenomenal. If you're looking for somebody who's really well-versed in nutrition, you can follow Nina Escobedo Nutrition. You can head over to my page, Sam Wallace Fit, and
we'll
check
put
her
it
out
in the show notes too.
Yeah, but she's phenomenal at teaching this concept around nutrition, that, you know, every meal is a new opportunity to make a different decision, and every day is a new opportunity to start fresh. And I even have to listen to her say that on repeat so often, because mm-hmm. we get into this perfectionism that I wasn't perfect. I didn't eat this. I missed this meal. I ate out today. I ate out for dinner. Fuck it.
Right.
And then
you pop all four tires instead of letting it go at just the one. That's my favorite analogy. Clients do that every day. It's like if you were on the side of the road and you needed to put a donut on your car, you're not going to go pop the other three. You're just going to put the donut on the car and then move on until you can fix the tire, right? That's totally analogous to saying, hey, I didn't have the best breakfast. And because I didn't have the best breakfast, I think the way that Nina says it is way more eloquent than what I just said. But it's really, really just a testimony to this idea that it is a choice to say fuck it for the rest of the day. And there's a lot of research around this too. Like every time I think about the breakfast example of how that really sets your tone for the rest of the day, I immediately think of people like Max Lugavere and how he talks about, he cites this all the time in so many of his Instagram posts. He repeats it often, and I'm glad he does, because I think it's so key, is the amount of protein you eat first thing in the morning will completely influence your hunger cues for the rest of the day. So if you're the kind of person who's listening to this right now and you see yourself at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 p.m., whenever, running your kids around from one activity to the next, taking a lunch break, and you're tired and hangry, come talk to us about what you're eating for breakfast, because I can almost guarantee it's less than 20 grams of protein. Without knowing anything about you, I would bet money on the statement that I just made.
I'll put a $100 bill on the table right
Literally,
now.
Yeah.
Or you're not eating breakfast.
Exactly.
I'll put $200 on the table. You're not eating breakfast.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great concept that breakfast, and I loved intermittent fasting for mm-hmm. years. I mean, like, I really truly believed in intermittent fasting, and I did it in my own for a long time. But really making that shift and going back to eating breakfast was really the biggest game changer. I see it in my mood. I see it in my sleep. I see it in my focus. I see it in, you know, every area of my life. I just feel better. And I think that TikTok and Instagram has given such a platform to so many different voices. It's very confusing. It's just putting it nicely. I'm trying to be polite about this, but it's information overload, and there's a lot of people that shouldn't have that probably shouldn't be sharing on some of these topics that do, and it gets very confusing. And you know, selfishly, I'm grateful for mm-hmm. those people, because I probably wouldn't have a business because I get the overflow.
It gives us the chance to actually educate.
It gives us the chance to give a different perspective, and you know, I just feel sorry that people are having to have these experiences first before having to figure it out. But that brings up the, you know, last point I'll say on this. It's okay to fall. It is okay to fail. Everybody's level of failure perception of failure looks different. My level mm-hmm. of failure is probably a lot harder than most people's. I know yours is also. Yeah. But I think that failure is a really beautiful thing, and it creates resiliency, and it's also a learning opportunity. And if you are constantly learning something about yourself, even something small, and you have a willingness to change and act and do something different, that is what's going to set you up for the most success. Because a lot of the things that we choose to do in our day around our health is just simply not a priority to us. And that comes down to being, you know, the number one reason why.
That's what I said earlier about myself.
It's prioritization. Yeah. And it's everything you do in life. is what you choose to prioritize, how you choose to lead your life. And I hope that the listeners here today are just open to a different concept or a different idea that, hey, you know, like there are other options and there are other ways. I don't have to conform to this closed-minded idea that fitness is and nutrition is XYZ all in, all thing. Out. It is one way or no way at all. I think you need to establish what your relationship with food needs to look like for you, for your family dynamic, for your life. And I think you need to ultimately find what makes you happy inside mm-hmm. of nutrition. And when you can find how you like to eat, the style of eating that really suits your life, the more willingness you're going to have to make it a priority in your life. And if you're struggling with this, maybe it's time to outsource a coach yep. that can teach you how to do that so that you don't have to continue to struggle.
Especially the happiness piece. And I actually think this is such a good place for us to kind of bring this all home, because I think the confusion here, and this could probably be a whole podcast in and of itself, so we can have you back on
part
to do
two.
It. Yep. Is there is a really challenging component and like fork in the road mm-hmm. where you chase happiness from this perception of losing weight, fitting into a smaller size, feeling more confident in photos, feeling like you have more energy, feeling like you look jacked, whatever it is that you want, right? We confuse that happiness and we put it on a pedestal because we say to ourselves, fuck the journey of how I got there. I just want to get to that point. Because once I lose X weight, I'll be happy. Once I'm a size whatever, I'll be happy, right? And like we're laughing because we've both been in this position. I think it just, again,
you're
to like-
miserable.
Right? Especially to bring it back to your bodybuilding experience. This is the perfect tie-in. You are chasing these other external accolades. And I'm not saying we need to sit here and be all woo-woo and be like, none of what other people think about you matters, because I think that's bullshit. We are externally motivated and intrinsically motivated, and it just depends on certain aspects of our personality, our environment, so many different things. Again, could be another podcast because it's such an interesting topic. But what I really want to address here and just underscore to bring this episode together is the idea that what we're trying to say about the journey itself, how you get there is how you stay there. Why inside of Sam Wallace Fitness you come full circle at the end of your program, because it's not actually the end of anything. It's the end of your relationship with your coach, hopefully because you got out of it what you wanted to. But to Sam's point about failure that you just made in the last couple of minutes here, it's also recognizing that, hey, maybe in this first round of coaching, we didn't uncover all the things, and you can come back and explore that stuff later, or just kind of ride out where you are right now, see what it looks like with loosening some of the reins a bit, and then we can attack some other things. But again, you don't have to do it all at once. And we really need to redefine this concept of what makes you happy, not just based off this end result, but how you're actually executing on that then for forever. That's a T. Like in my opinion, I think that's the part where even I've gotten stuck, and I think you can relate to that too, right? Mm-hmm. So before we kind of close this all out here, I like to do quick little like rapid fire and fun lightning round. So before we go into those fun questions like that, and then I will let you go, I would love for your take as you kind of sit here now and think back to everything we've talked about so far. If you could just give somebody one piece of advice, if they're like tuning out and they need to have one quick actionable step takeaway from this entire conversation, what is it?
Commit to changing your lifestyle. And I think that really wraps up everything that we've embodied and talked about on today's episode. Is you have to commit to a lifestyle change if you truly want to see long-term success. And I know it's really hard to conceptualize changing your life when you only know mm-hmm. the set of habits and behaviors that you're currently instilling. But if your happiness and worth is built around how you look, that's ego.
Yep.
So we gotta check the ego at the door, yeah. Realign, reassess, and also remember that coaches are kind of like therapists. We utilize therapists, you know, when we need a tune-up in our life, when we yeah. need help getting through a rough patch. We may not work with a therapist every day of our lives or forever, but we do use them in seasons, and we can utilize coaches in seasons as well to help us on the health and fitness aspect. And in some mm-hmm. ways, I think that when you do start a health and fitness, actually I know that, when you do start a health and fitness journey, it doesn't matter what your reason or why is. Yeah. I mean, your journey is your journey. Your life is your life. I started mine based on ego.
Right.
And there was nothing wrong with that. I learned and my perception changed and I learned a lot over the years. I mean, I'm also not 17, 18 years old anymore, but.
And you change.
But I changed. And you're going to change and grow through different seasons of your life as well. And you'll find that even what you want right now probably isn't what you're going to want in another 5 years, maybe Amen. Even a year from now. But that's okay, because this isn't a journey of perfection. This isn't a journey of one size fits all. This is a journey of continuous growth. And if you are someone who wants that mindset, you need to change your social circle. You need to get around like-minded people who are going to inspire you, push you, motivate you, help you become that person. I mean, I can confidently say that 98% of my friend circle are entrepreneurs, are in the health and fitness industry in some way, yep. lead healthy lifestyles, and have common morals and values. And I think that these are the five that we really need to get to the root of and understand what is actually contributing and impacting our life. And I'll leave it at this. If you want to start making those changes, 15 books on Amazon, go read Atomic Habits.
Our favorite book.
Go read.
Fully endorsed. Fully endorsed.
sponsor me. No. But
we love James Clear. Big fans.
We do. Big fan. go read Atomic Habits.
It's such a good book. And it really is. Jokes aside.
It's really life changing. It's so easy and it's so simple and it's so life changing.
And it's also the kind of book you do not need to read. You and I messaged about this. I like read this book over years because I just read like chunks of it. I don't even read it in order. You don't have to.
You don't have to. You take what you will, leave the rest of the door, apply applicable.
Yeah.
Applicable?
Yeah.
Why no, is that?
You can, you can say it either way.
Oh, you can. Yeah. Okay.
I've heard it both ways.
So, you know, take what you will, apply what pertains to you right now, mm-hmm. and don't write off the other options or opportunities that are out there, because it may not make sense right now, but it might later
You're
on down
need
the road
it at some point.
And yeah. and that's just with anything in life, whether it's coaching, oh, yeah. whether it's you know, the way that you eat, the styles of eating. My styles of eating have changed so
I've
much
even
over
seen
the
it
years.
Just as I've watched you from like where we were when we first became friends in 2020, I think at the time you were showing like a lot more of your breakfasts and food and stuff. And noticing, like, I know you've been on, you know, highlighting different things from like a business perspective too, but just looking at like the way I see you eat different things. And it's cool. Like, I probably pay attention to it more than the average person and look at it from a different lens. But I love that you've taken everybody in your audience on that journey. And I also really just like love the fact that, again, could be another podcast episode too, but the whole time I was sitting here and hearing what you just kind of wrapped with, around your circle of friends and things, I know that your journey through sobriety has been a really interesting thing. And like the way you've kind of like encapsulated sober curiosity and what that looks like, I really respect you for doing that. And I know for a fact, without even asking you the question, so much of it has to do with like your lifestyle and your social circle. But I want to be respectful of your time. So we are going to bring it all the way home. I'm going to ask you three quick questions just to kind of wrap this up. Like I said, fun, rapid fire things. And then we'll have you pimp yourself out and plug you in the show notes and all those
Let's
things
go,
too.
Baby.
So everybody can follow you. All right. So first one, if you could only do one, this is going to be hard for you. One exercise, one movement for the rest of your life, like one lift, what are we picking?
Lateral raises.
Wow, you're fast. I didn't expect that. I also thought you were going to say like a deadlift or something.
If I could never train legs again, I would. But I'm a 3 day a week leg day girl.
I know you're a big back girl these days. Because I've been liking those. I know. When you think about, I know we already said Atomic Habits and we mentioned a couple other podcasts we like, but is there anything you're reading right now or anything you're listening to right now that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, this one is not for everyone, okay. but like I said earlier, I'm a huge, huge Andy Frisella fan. I really just value what he has to say. I think he's real. I think he's straight to the point.
I learned so much even just about the world from listening to his show.
So much. And I know he's not for everyone, mm-hmm. but I think he is for the majority of people.
I do too.
And I think a lot of what he says, a lot of people really need to hear that message. You know, if you can set politics aside and like, you know, wherever yep. you stand, like, sure. I don't care. But there's a lot of life messages that I think he says very well that could really change a lot of people's lives. It's really changed mine. As far as books right now, I'm on a goal of reading two a month and been crushing it. very proud.
Go, girl.
But I'm reading one of Alex Hormozi's books. So, I mean, if you're not in business, it probably doesn't matter. But you can follow me on Instagram, and I do a book review at the end of the month. So
I've been seeing you do that. You can so that's jump why on. I asked that.
It's my accountability check.
Love it. I love it. And then our last question before you tell us where we can follow you and all those good things. What is your absolute favorite food? Like, we could do the whole same thing of if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what are we eating? Because you like routine.
Oh, God. Ramsey's going to be like, it's going to get unhinged for a second. I don't know. It's so hard because it ebbs and it flows. So it's a very emotional journey. It depends on what I'm in the mood for. Okay. I think one of my staple go-tos is cold leftover filet mignon.
That's so specific. I love you.
With A1 sauce okay. and a little bit of sea salt. If you know, you know.
Yep. That's also really practical because protein.
Yeah. I wish red meat loved me. It doesn't. But it's so good. And it never gets old. It's a staple. Or I'm going to go with like a good vodka, like pasta. I love that. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Very on brand for you to give me something that detailed. So you're the best. Everyone needs to follow you. Seriously, we could do like 5 podcasts and we still wouldn't cover everything. So please tell everybody where they can connect with you. We'll also link Nina's Instagram in the show notes as well so that the whole team's represented.
Yeah. You can follow me personally at Sam Wallace Fit on Instagram. TikTok is Sam Wallace Fitness or Sam Wallace Fit. There's
that saga, we can talk about.
We can talk about that later.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm actually going through a relaunch rebranding. Great. And I haven't announced it yet, but cool. I'm going to delete one of them and just start fresh from scratch.
Exciting.
And then my business page is samwallacefitness.com. Sam Wallace Fitness for Instagram. That's a great place if you want to connect and get a little bit of both Nina and I. Mm-hmm. We're rebranding that page heading into the new year. So we would absolutely love everyone's support on that. It's a great place for you to come and get nutrition, training, life coaching as well, which is really the core of everything we do.
Yep.
And then if you want to book a call, you are interested in what we offer, you can head over to samwallacefitness.com/discovery and check out a little bit about what we do.
Well, I'm super excited for all that. I think we nailed down the timing of when we can promote this episode so that it lines up with the rebrand. So that's awesome. I love you so much. You were the best. I feel like we never skip a beat, even with talking every few months, every single day on Instagram, and even just finally meeting in person. You're a rock star. I really, really value coaches in the space who are doing what you do and sharing the message that you do. Also, just knowing how hard you work, I have so much admiration for that. So to be able to like share the floor and share the space with you is really amazing. And I can't wait for the feedback on this episode. So for everybody who tuned in today, again, go follow Sam. If you liked this episode, please, please share it. That is the best way for Sam to help spread her message, which, as we've made clear, totally aligns with the Fitness Fix and everything that we're doing here. So we need you guys to get out there and do that so that all of us can actually change more lives for the better. Also, doing so by leaving a review is super helpful. Obviously, 5 stars after this conversation. You can do that on Apple. You can do it on Spotify. I know a lot of you guys are over there. But as always, from wherever you're listening from, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.